Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, we're going to talk politics. And you know it's about darn time. As I'm recording this, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee is considering the nomination of William Barr to be the next U.S. Attorney General. He's a horrible nominee. For the sake of this country, he should be rejected. And on this edition of Free Culture Radio, we're going to hear why. In December of 2018, a group of 75 civil rights, religious, and progressive organizations sent a letter to the U.S. Senate expressing serious concerns about Barr's nomination. On January 10th, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights held a news conference with representatives from some of those organizations to discuss Barr's record and to call on the Senate to reject his nomination. I was fortunate enough to be on that call. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, I'm going to bring you some of that audio. First, let's hear from Christine Lucius, Executive Vice President for Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights.
This nomination comes at a critical moment for our nation. The current president's flagrant disregard for democratic norms, the rule of law, and the civil and human rights of our nation's most vulnerable threatens to totally destabilize our nation. The confirmation of the next chief law enforcement officer is one of the most important issues the Senate will consider. And the Senate has got to get it right. The Senate should only confirm someone with the necessary independence to run the Justice Department consistent with its mission. That requires someone who has a demonstrated commitment to enforcing our nation's federal civil rights laws on behalf of our nation's most vulnerable. That's non-negotiable. Under former Attorney General Sessions, we saw nearly unbridled disdain for the Justice Department's vital role as the nation's primary agency for protecting people's rights. For nearly 2 years, Sessions destroyed families and communities by attacking voting rights, restarting the war on drugs, failing to enforce constitutional policing policies, rolling back protections for LGBTQ individuals, and justifying officials separating children from their parents and locking immigrant children in cages. As you will hear from the speakers on today's call, Mr. Barr's record suggests more of the same. Our families and our communities deserve better. An attorney general who will protect the rights of all, not criminalize our most vulnerable. Our civil rights are at stake. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee have an obligation next week to seek assurances from Mr. Barr that he will not be Sessions 2.0. He must demonstrate he will not continue to turn back the clock on civil rights. And he must demonstrate he will be truly independent from the divisive and lawless president who nominated him. The nominee has the burden of proof in these hearings, and the more we learn about Mr. Barr's record, the heavier that burden is getting.
That was Christine Lucius, Executive Vice President for Policy at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Now let's hear from Janae Nelson, Associate Director and Counsel at the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, Inc.
From February 2017 until December 2018, Jeff Sessions established policies and programs and practices at DOJ that undermine the civil rights of communities of color, grossly undermine their civil rights. And we must interrogate how William Barr's approach to civil rights enforcement and the protection of the rights of people of color and other marginalized communities will rectify the deep harm that Jeff Sessions created. We must know that he will not only protect and enforce civil rights, but that he will restore fairness and decency to the chief law enforcement agency in our country, that he will reverse any and all policies and practices that his predecessor installed to undermine equality and justice for all. We are at a time when schools are resegregating, and black and brown students are increasingly attending racially isolated, high-poverty schools, and the Trump administration has made a concerted effort to dismantle diversity from kindergarten through college. From rescinding departmental guidance on discriminatory school discipline policies to leading investigations into Ivy League institutions regarding a racial diversity program, this administration has been on a warpath against educational equity. Similarly, the Department of Justice has also become this administration's voter suppression agency. In one of his first acts as Attorney General, the Sessions-led DOJ sided with the state of Texas in an effort to impose a discriminatory photo ID scheme, asking a federal court of appeals to allow the state to enforce a law that the lower court found to be discriminatory under the Voting Rights Act and the 14th and 15th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. And this is in a case where the Department of Justice had worked with civil rights groups to help challenge this discriminatory law, and then did a 180 right after Sessions became installed as the new head of DOJ. DOJ also sided with Ohio in an effort to unfairly purge voters from the roll. In the area of policing and criminal justice reform, Jeff Sessions revived the private prison contract that had been ended by the previous administration and abandoned the department's obligation to ensure that criminal laws are administered fairly and without regard to race. Despite a decades-long history of police abuse in Baltimore and Chicago, DOJ took steps to prevent the approval of consent decrees to address documented civil rights violations. These are agreements DOJ is authorized to negotiate pursuant to the Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994. The Trump DOJ has also attacked the LGBTQ community. It issued a sweeping religious exemption guidance, which invited taxpayer-funded federal agencies, government employees, and government contractors to legally discriminate against LGBT communities and employees as long as they cite a religious belief as the reason for doing it. It also reversed the policy that provided non-discrimination protections for transgender people in the workplace under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. Jeff Sessions was the messenger when the Trump administration announced its plans to end DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, an Obama-era immigration policy that protected innocent youth from deportation. It's a disastrous and cruel decision that is still hanging in the balance and could devastate the lives, and is devastating the lives, of hundreds and thousands of children and families. It is yet another example of this administration's willingness to fan the flames of xenophobia and hostility toward people of color. This is the legacy that the prior Attorney General and the Department of Justice that Barr will lead if he is confirmed. And Barr's record demonstrates that he also supports mass incarceration, opposes sensible criminal justice reform, is hostile to LGBTQ rights, and objects to any legislative checks on executive power. These are concerning attributes of a potential appointment to lead the Department of Justice. Senators must determine whether Barr is going to continue to weaponize the Justice Department and eviscerate civil rights protections, or whether his record suggests that he can repair and restore integrity and fairness to the Justice Department, whether he can ensure that all persons are treated equally under the law. We need an Attorney General who has the will to act independently of a president under investigation, who has the will to reverse the assault on civil rights set in motion by his predecessor, and has the will to aggressively protect and defend the civil rights of all Americans. We at the Legal Defense Fund, along with our colleagues here today, have very serious doubts that William Barr has that will, and we urge the Senate Judiciary Committee to engage in a full and thorough vetting to properly satisfy its duty to advise and consent. Thank you.
That was Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel at the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund, Inc., speaking at a news conference to discuss the nomination of William Barr as U.S. Attorney General. You're listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. We're listening to portions of that news teleconference from January 10th that discussed opposition to the nomination of William Barr as the next U.S. Attorney General. We'll have more in a moment. The Encyclopedia of Modern Political Thought has this to say about political culture. Quote, at its core, political culture, the shared values and beliefs of a group or society regarding political relationships and public policy, answers the question of how human beings are going to live together. That is, political culture answers the question of who gets to do what, with, and to whom, under what circumstances. Political culture also answers the question of who decides, who has authority, and who has power in a group, organization, institution, or other social unit in society. End quote. The dominant political culture in this country for many years has been racist, sexist, classist, and authoritarian. That must change. Let's hear more from that news conference. Next up is Michael Collins. He's director of the Drug Policy Alliance's Office of National Affairs in Washington, D.C.
After the nightmare we had with Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, many of us felt that we couldn't go much lower. But William Barr certainly gives Jeff Sessions a run for his money in terms of his desire to pursue the war on drugs. With Sessions, we faced challenges to marijuana legalization, sentencing reform, and an incarceration-only approach to an overdose crisis that is demonstrably a public health issue. Our fear is that we will have the same problems with Barr. This is someone who was Attorney General during the expansion of the war on drugs in the early 90s, who pushed to fill prisons and was partly responsible for the mass incarceration mess we have today. It's very unlikely that he's changed his mind since the 1990s, not least because he signed on to a letter in 2015 opposing a modest sentencing reform bill, the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act, in which he claimed, quote, our system of justice is not broken, unquote. The most frustrating thing is that many advocates, ourselves included, spent a lot of time and energy passing a criminal justice reform bill, the First Step Act, which Trump signed into law in late December last year. Much of that legislation has to be implemented by the Attorney General, and putting Barr in that position raises questions about whether this administration ever really cared about criminal justice reform. This is like if President Obama passed healthcare reform, then appointed Ted Cruz as Secretary of HHS. The fox will be guarding the hen house, and that's a real problem. On overdose issues, the consensus politically has been that we need a public health approach to this crisis, yet Barr is someone who has the same mindset as Sessions and is likely to pursue the same failed drug war strategies of locking up drug users and pushing for tough sentences that do nothing to reduce overdose deaths and serve only to increase the prison population, usually through the incarceration of people of colour. Indeed, William Barr's daughter, Mary Daly, is currently the point person on opioid prosecutions at the Department of Justice, and she has stressed the importance of, quote, aggressive enforcement, unquote, when it comes to the overdose crisis. It's also very Trumpian to have the father and daughter working in the same agency. In a 2001 interview, Barr also seemed to call for the extrajudicial killing of drug traffickers. Here's the quote, open quote, using the military and drugs was always under discussion. I personally was of the view it was a national security problem. I personally likened it to terrorism. I believe you can use law enforcement to some extent, particularly in the US, but the best thing to do is not to extradite Pablo Escobar and bring him to the United States and try him. That's not the most effective way of destroying that organization, close quote. My conclusion here is that he's advocating for extrajudicial killings, which is deeply troubling, especially given that Trump himself has already called for the death penalty for people who sell drugs like fentanyl. The last thing I'll say is that Sessions was given an easy ride by Republicans during his Senate confirmation process. It was early in the Trump administration. He was a former senator, so he got no tough questions from Republicans. He then had very public spats with Senator Grassley over his opposition to criminal justice reform. Senator Gardner with Colorado fought with him about his position on marijuana legalization. Even though we knew before the hearings that Jeff Sessions held these odious positions, our hope is that in these hearings, Senate Republicans step up and hold Barr accountable on these and other issues, rather than giving him a free pass. They have a constitutional obligation to advise and consent, and they should take that role seriously this time around. Thank you.
That was Michael Collins with the Drug Policy Alliance. The Drug Policy Alliance, by the way, holds its International Drug Policy Reform Conference this November. You can find out more by going to reformconference.org. I've attended several DPA conferences over the years, as well as conferences held by its predecessor organization, the Drug Policy Foundation, and I recommend them highly. Now let's hear from Avide Mousavian, Legislative Director of the National Immigration Law Center.
We're here today to talk about the serious and wide-ranging concerns about the nomination of William Barr as Attorney General and the threats to all of our rights that his nomination poses. William Barr has a long and deeply problematic record in immigration, spanning nearly 40 years. During his time at DOJ, he prioritized militarization of our border communities and criminalization of migrants through expanded detention. And as we see today, in the midst of a manufactured crisis by the president, our nation's track record of militarizing border communities and criminalizing those seeking to come to the U.S. deeply ignores the root causes of why people come to the U.S. in the first place, whether to be with loved ones or to seek economic opportunities or humanitarian protection. And it causes great harm both to the people seeking to come here, vibrant border communities, and our environment. Barr also created a national center for tracking non-citizens that serves as a precursor of what we've seen under former Attorney General Sessions, where the DOJ has persistently sought to coerce local law enforcement to do the work of federal immigration enforcement. And Barr also oversaw the detention of Haitian refugees in Guantanamo and subjected HIV Haitian asylum seekers to prolonged and indefinite detention and to an unjustifiably higher standard on their asylum cases. We should all be deeply troubled by an Attorney General nominee who ordered the creation of a detention camp for vulnerable populations of people seeking safety. In addition to the many and profound concerns that William Barr's own track record presents, it's equally alarming that he's lauded former Attorney General Sessions as, quote, an outstanding Attorney General as recently as 2 months ago. Barr has been open in his praise of former Attorney General Sessions, who particularly fixated on stripping immigrants of their rights in ways that range from seemingly benign bureaucratic changes that in fact have radically transformed our immigration system or in brazenly inhumane and publicized ways. Just some of the many examples of Sessions' policies that Barr has implicitly or expressly supported include Sessions' zero-tolerance policy that sought to criminalize immigrant parents, most of whom came here seeking safety in the U.S., as justification to separate thousands of small children from their parents and cage them in an effort to coerce these parents into waiving their legal right to claim asylum and to deter others from doing so. Barr explicitly supported the first iteration of Trump's Muslim ban, writing just days after it was issued that he sees, quote, no plot disputing the order's lawfulness, end quote, and defending it as falling, quote, squarely within both the president's constitutional authority and his explicit statutory immigration powers. This is despite the fact that this ban, even after successful legal challenges, was rescinded, and the next version that was revised was blocked by numerous federal courts that found it, quote, that it drips with religious intolerance, animus, and discrimination. Other Sessions policies that Barr could continue to pursue are taking away from survivors of domestic violence and gang violence the ability to claim asylum, stripping immigration judges of their independence and discretion to close cases or adjudicate them on an individualized case-by-case basis, imposing performance-based case quotas on immigration judges at the very same time that they are dealing with unprecedented case backlogs of well over 1 million cases. This is in large part because of the changes under Trump that have allowed for more non-citizens to be indiscriminately targeted for deportation, and because former Attorney General Sessions imposed more and more limits on immigration judges' ability to exercise discretion. And yet another example of Sessions' signature policies that Barr could continue is retaliating against states and municipalities by threatening to withhold federal grants to those localities with constitutionally sound policies that limit their role in federal immigration enforcement in order to promote better community trust and communication. While these threats have been successfully held at bay by numerous federal courts who found that what the current administration is doing to be in violation of the Constitution, Barr's record and vocal support of these more recent bullying tactics under former Attorney General Sessions are a troubling sign. It's the job of the Attorney General to protect civil rights. Since the beginning of its term, this administration has actively sought to undermine the civil rights of people living in this country. And we have no reason to think this or any of the signature policies issued under former AG Sessions will be put in check with the nomination of William Barr. It's crucial that the Senate press Mr. Barr on these important issues, and to scour his record to decide if he is fit to be Attorney General of the United States. Even a cursory review is cause for grave concern, and even more so under an administration that has sought to weaponize the role of the Department of Justice and Attorney General to devastate the rights of populations that most need its protection. Thank you.
That was Avadeh Mousavian, Legislative Director, National Immigration Law Center, speaking on a news teleconference with other social justice and civil rights organizations to discuss the nomination of William Barr as U.S. Attorney General. Finally, here's Sharon McGowan, Chief Strategy Officer and Legal Director with Lambda Legal.
I come to this discussion not only as the legal director of the nation's oldest and largest LGBT litigation organization, but also as a former senior career official in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department and someone who felt that I needed to leave my role in civil service when it was clear that Jeff Sessions was going to take the Department of Justice in the direction that we have seen over the last 2 years. As Janae and Avadeh have mentioned, you know, Jeff Sessions transformed the Department of Justice from a guardian of civil rights into a weapon of discrimination and bigotry. And what we have seen throughout William Barr's attempts to audition for this position, either through his writings, appearances, and in media, he attempts to pick up and is eager to pick up where Jeff Sessions left off. And as Avadeh mentioned, you know, there are things about William Barr's record in particular that demonstrate that he truly is sort of cut from the same cloth. You know, his particular legacy regarding the immigrants from Haiti who were seeking asylum is one of the darkest sort of moments in our nation's history with respect to the HIV crisis, a crisis and epidemic in which there were many, many dark days. But his willingness to basically sort of relegate an entire group of people to inhumane conditions and put their lives at risk is in many ways very reminiscent of what we are seeing right now with a Justice Department that is using moralistic arguments and punitive strategies to try and separate out people from this country that this administration believes are undesirable or un-American. And that truly is the most coming out of this administration, the way in which the notion of equal justice under law is truly being undermined at this moment. And it is really important for the Senate to actually stand up and take a stand and help the Justice Department get back on track. There are many, many men and women of the Civil Rights Division and throughout the Justice Department who have, like me, felt that they needed to leave the Justice Department because they were no longer able to engage in the work of the Justice Department with a sense of integrity and belief that they are fulfilling their constitutional oath of office. And William Barr is someone who will continue down the road that Jeff Sessions has taken the department. As Janae mentioned in the beginning, you know, from the outset, this administration has targeted civil rights, but particularly put a target on the back of the LGBT community, targeting transgender students through the rescission of transgender guidance, targeting transgender men and women who wish to serve in our military through a blatantly discriminatory ban on their that is now being litigated by the Department of Justice, and through the reversal of legally sound positions regarding the interpretation of federal law with respect to its coverage of discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity, because that is not a policy outcome that this administration prefers. And William Barr's record demonstrates that he, like Jeff Sessions, seeks to weaponize religious liberty arguments as a way to denigrate and re-marginalize the LGBT community in a way that is completely inconsistent with where we are as a nation. He has denigrated non-discrimination laws and suggested that somehow they were just, you know, attempts to override people's moral beliefs as opposed to the way in which they have worked in society to ensure equal participation of all. And as others have noted, you know, he went out of his way to praise those aspects of Sessions' tenure in the Department of Justice, specifically with respect to his targeting of transgender people in this country, and to have no doubt about what kind of attorney general he would be. And so as we think about, at this particular moment, what it is that we need in an attorney general, what it is that we need from the Department of Justice, William Barr has submitted his application. We have his resume. We have his writing sample. We know exactly what it is that he intends to do. There is no guesswork involved here. He wants to double down and give us 2 more years of the kinds of assault on civil rights that we have seen under Jeff Sessions. And this Senate has an obligation to stand up for the American people and stand up for the notion of justice and ensure that the leadership of this department is handed over to someone who can be trusted to live up to the constitutional ideals of liberty and justice for all. And William Barr, simply on the basis of his record and his statements and his performance to date, is not that person.
That was Sharon McGowan, Chief Strategy Officer and Legal Director of Lambda Legal. She was speaking in a news conference with other social justice and civil rights organizations to urge opposition to the nomination of William Barr as the next U.S. Attorney General. The Senate is in the hands of the GOP, which is itself in the hands of right-wing zealots. So realistically, unfortunately, we're probably going to lose this one. But we're still going to put up a fight because it's the right thing to do. Heck, it's the only thing to do. In 1984, I arrived in Portland, Oregon, stepped off a Greyhound bus, and climbed into a van with Jack Herer, the author of The Emperor Wears No Clothes. Jack became my mentor and a close friend. He didn't write The Emperor to try and become famous. He didn't work to legalize weed because he wanted to get rich. He sure didn't do all that just so he could get high, because nothing ever stopped Jack from getting high anytime and anywhere he wanted to. Heck, there was this one time we were at the Smithsonian American History Museum and we were smoking weed inside. That's a story for another time. Anyway, for all his faults and foibles, Jack did what he did because he believed in justice, fairness, and equality. He taught me a lot, but most importantly, he taught me to stand up for what's right. And for now, that's all the time we have, so thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Free Culture Radio. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Many thanks to all the organizations and individuals on that news teleconference, and to everyone out there fighting for civil rights, for human rights, and for social justice. A big thank you to our engineer, and thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a webpage. It's at kboo.fm/freeculture. Free Culture Radio also has a Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/KBOO Free Culture Radio. Please give it a like. You'll find links there to past shows, announcements about upcoming programs and events, and other stuff like news items that may be of interest. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!